Okay. We thought it was so late you might not want to get into questions for fear we'd keep you up all night. So we're going to change a little bit. We'll see what the Lord wants to do in the morning. In all these conversations about the spirit of the orphan and the spirit of mammon and the idea of provision, protection, and place, probably the one that hits us the most deals with income-producing ability. And so many of you heard me talk about this, but I want to go back over it again with you so you can go to sleep on it and we can get up and talk about it in the morning. And it's a discussion I call, why do we work? So I pose the question to you, why do you work? What?
To make money.
To make provision. Who's your provision, Bubbles? So why do you work?
Because I like to work.
Good answer. This is normally the dialogue. I've got to work to pay my bills, but God's my provision. But I got to work to pay my bills. So which is it? Is God our provision? Or is he just not very good at it? Or is he hurting for money? I mean, what is it? My belief is this. We know what happened in the garden. And we know what God said to Adam. Cursed is the ground because of you. And because of this, you're going to toil in the soil all of the days. And by the sweat of your brow, you'll extract your food until you die and return to the dust. That's my paraphrase of it. And that gets preached every Labor Day Sunday in all the churches. That if old Adam hadn't messed up, we wouldn't have to be working so hard. And it says it right there in Scripture. It's a fact. It's what it says. Cursed is the ground because of you. We forget what it said just a few chapters later about Lamech. Let's go to the Scriptures again and see here. Go to Genesis, I think it's 6. Nope, back up. Genesis 5:28. When Lamech, who is the father of Noah, had lived 182 years, he had a son. He named him Noah, and he said, "He will comfort us in the labor and painful toil of our hands caused by the ground the Lord has cursed." Lamech, in an act of prophecy, prophesied over his son Noah that he would bring us relief from our toil that was caused by the ground that was cursed. You think that has something to do with what happened in the garden with Adam? Do you think he's talking about that specific curse? Let's go on over. It's in the 8th chapter of Genesis. In the 20th verse, we've hit dry ground, the dove's gone out and didn't come back, and Noah and them have come out of the ark. And it says, "Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. And the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, 'Never again will I curse the ground because of man, even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood. So you think Noah brought us relief from our toil that was caused by the ground that was cursed? Whether you say the flood baptized the earth or rolled us back to day 2 in creation, at this point, the earth is no longer cursed. And God promised He'd never curse it again. So I would say to you, we are not under that curse. We are not toiling in the soil. We're back to tending the garden and naming animals. We're not here to toil in the soil. Now, I can put myself under that curse and want to live by the sweat of my brow, or I can be who God said I am and let Him be my provision. One of the curses that I believe is on men in particular is we have been told all our life we have to be our own man. We have to make our own way. These are lies from hell. They need to be over in this counterfeit column. These are all lies from hell that you must be your own provision. We're told that over and over. But clearly here in Scripture, it is said we've been released from the curse that was on the ground. And we're back to tending what God has given us. So if you're not working, if you're not toiling because of the curse that was on the ground, why are you working? Exactly. God says in Jeremiah 1:4, before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you and I set you apart. Basically saying, I gave you a destiny and a calling and equipped you with gifts and graces. Had I had it my way, I would have been a medical doctor. Got injured playing football, had to become a trainer for the football team. Later on, went into the Army, served as a medic in the Army, came home from that. Knew that that's what I wanted to be, was a doctor. So I worked at a hospital, ran an ambulance, went to college. Was going to put about three and a half years of college in 2 years. My wife's pregnant with him. She thinks for some reason he may want to eat, have clothes when it comes along. You know, women are funny about that. I don't know what the deal is. She thought I needed to take a break and earn a little money so we could clothe and feed him. I did, and I'm still on break. Lord put me into the manufacturing business. I went to work for a company working in the shipping and receiving department. In a matter, the guy I went to work for, the condition was that I promised him I would go back to school and be a doctor. He's a friend of the family. 4 years later, he says, if I fire my son, will you manage our company for us? He fired his son. I started managing the company. 9 years later, I wound up assuming all this man's debt, took over his company, and the Lord gave us the company. I had had a measure of success both in business and civic things. I'd been president of every organization that you could possibly be president of in Littlefield, Texas. I've been on many statewide boards and things. I was selected at one point to run as a United States representative. That I was the one being groomed to be our next United States representative until I told them I didn't want to do that thing. A certain amount of success in business, in life, in church, in all things. But if you could have got deep down inside of me, I would have told you I was a failure because I wasn't a doctor. Because this is what I thought I wanted to be. In 2000, I'm sitting on a mountaintop in Norway. We're doing some work with a walk to Emmaus over there. I'm sitting out there and I'm looking at just beautiful scenery. And it's one of the two times that I think I may have audibly heard the voice of God. And he said, see, Doug, if you had been a doctor, you would have had to been in your office seeing patients in order for me to give you provision. But because I gave you a manufacturing company, you have these 80 people working for you and I can give you provision so you can go and do what I want you to do. Brought peace to my life. I understood I was where I was supposed to be. God put me in manufacturing because He wanted a presence in the pump industry. It is, we are well noted in our industry. We manufacture parts for all the pump OEMs, original equipment manufacturers. The people who really build the pumps, they come to us and we build all their products. But it's a select, a pretty close-knit industry. Not many things new in it, but and the people just kind of rotate from company to company. But we're well noted as being people of God, the people who work in our company. It's not unusual at all for our customers to call us when there's a crisis in somebody's life in their office and ask us to pray for them or maybe even talk with them. Not uncommon for me to go do funerals or weddings of our customers or vendors because we have become known as representing God in our industry. Well, it became very clear to me the gifts that God gave me and the calling that He put on my life was to be in business, not in medicine, and that I was to be there as His representative. My provision has never been in question. God's always going to provide for us. I'm going to say this, I'm going to say it several times over the weekend. There is absolutely nothing that God is doing that is going unfunded. There is absolutely nothing that God is doing that is going unfunded. And God is not hurting for money. The need for the tithe is not to fund the activities of God. The purpose of the tithe, we'll get this one off the table right now, is not to fund the things that God wants to do. That's not the purpose in the tithe. He is not hurting. If the living God can speak into existence all that you know, do you think money's a problem for Him? My provision was never in question. But God had to do things to get me out of my mind to get me into the place He wanted me to be. I was convinced. At that point in my life, I just assumed God was pleased with whatever decision I made. And surely He wanted me to be a doctor too. I never asked Him His opinion. I wasn't real interested in His sovereignty. I wasn't even sure He had an opinion about such things at that point, at my immature level in the things of God. So He had to orchestrate circumstances to bring me to a place where He got me where He intended me to be. My thought about this is the reason we work is there is nothing in this earth that God does not want a presence in. If we go back to this place, that the original intent of God is that all of mankind would come to know Him through His Son. You are a son of God. Whatever your occupation, and that is simply whatever occupies your time. Somebody was asking a while ago, am I retired from the business? Retirement's not a biblical principle. We don't retire. We shift. We may shift from what occupies our time, but your occupation is simply that, whatever occupies your time. I no longer go to the office because there's somebody better than me doing it, but I have other things that occupy my time in which I represent God. But your occupation, for me, typically is one of two things. It's either the training ground where God is refining and perfecting your gifts and calling and your graces, maturing you as a son of God from an apios all the way up to a huios, or it is your destiny. And sometimes it's both. Sometimes you get matured in that and it becomes your destiny in the place that you're in, the thing that is occupying your time. But there is nothing on this earth that God does not want to have a presence in. Some of you have heard me talk about a man I know in Fort Worth who, as a young boy, his mother abandoned him. He grew up in his father's care. His father was quite accomplished at building strip joints in Texas and having these operating these strip joints. So this young boy grew up around the feet of women who were so hurt and battered that they would take their clothes off for money in front of men. And this is where he grew up. Today, that man has a ministry to those women. He goes in, takes women in, and ministers to those women. If God wants a presence in the strip industry in Texas, do you think there's anything on earth that He doesn't want to have a presence in? He is raising people up to represent him in all aspects of life, because there's nothing on this earth that he doesn't want his presence to be touching. And the only way he does that is through you and I. His Holy Spirit dwells within you so that the presence of God might be seen in all aspects. Your occupation is your opportunity to be the ambassador of Christ. To be the one to sent, that is sent to represent Him in those circumstances. God's going to, you know, Jacob and God had an encounter. My idea about Scripture is it's not a story about Adam and Eve and Noah and Abraham and all these guys. It is a record of how God interacted with man that tells us how we can expect God to interact with us. Jacob made a vow that applies to you. He's at Bethel, and he says, if you will watch over me on this journey that I'm making and give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I might return to my father's house, then you'll be my God and I'll be your servant and I'll give you a tenth of all that we have. Now think about that. Is that not what we want? God, watch over me on this journey that I'm making. Give me food to eat, clothes to wear, so that I might return to my father's house. God makes this promise with Jacob, and he affirms it in you. He's always going to give you food to eat and clothes to wear. One of the things that we've got to get settled is that everything that God is doing is for your benefit. He has no intention of making you homeless and naked. He's seen you naked. He didn't like it. He's not going to let it happen again. He is not going to make you homeless and naked. He's not going to give you anything that harms you, though, either. And this is part of the grace thing that we're going to get into later on. But He is your provision. We were having a discussion up here a while ago. There's a problem that comes in. There was a point in my life when I was working about 16 hours a day trying to make this company go. And I finally came to a conclusion one night. It really didn't matter how hard I worked, things weren't getting better. And a few days later, the Lord confronted me. I was real good about taking schemes to the Lord and trying to get Him to bless them. My typical selling point to Him was I was convinced He was in need, that His checkbook wasn't very good, and that He needed me to fund the activities of the kingdom, and that if He would make me rich, it would benefit Him greatly, because I would give all this money to Him. And I was putting one of these snow jobs on God one morning, and this was the first time I think I audibly heard His voice. And He said, Doug, every one of these schemes you've ever brought me was to keep you in charge. And I knew the minute He said it, it was true. It just pierced my heart. Fell on my face in the floor, repented, and I said, this is one of those prayers I pray. This is when you know you're praying in the Spirit, because when it came out of my mouth, I regretted it. I said, Lord, if I'm the problem, take me out of the way. Because I know You'll take care of Nancy and I, but protect the jobs of all those other families. Well, when I said that, cold sweat ran over me because I thought, what if He takes me out of the way? But life changed for me that day. I quit. I literally started going to my office and sitting behind my desk to watch to see what God was going to do. And this was at a real critical time in our business. I mean, we were hurting in all aspects. The economy of Texas had gone up and down. We were really struggling. And at any point, if one of our vendors had confronted us, we were done. It was over. And God began to meet our needs to the penny every day. And I watched Him do that for the next 2.5 years. Until I began to make decisions based on my confidence in God being able to meet our resources. But the point of what I was going to tell you was I was working 16 hours a day begging God to help us make this thing work, and He wasn't doing anything. It took me a long time to figure out why He would do that. I was trying to live
by my own hands. I was trying to do everything I could to make his company work. If God had helped me, I would have taken credit for what happened. I would have said, look at what I did. The minute I said, look at what I did, I would have stole God's glory. Now, God is more than willing to give you His glory, but He'll not set you up to steal it from Him. So He couldn't help me when I was relying on my own strength. He could not help me when I was relying on my own strength and be God. It wasn't until I took my hand off of it and let Him be in charge and get in concert with Him that He began to move. I tell this to women routinely in counseling. When a wife has her hand all over her husband, going to fix him up, make him into the man he ought to be, and she's praying to God, help me fix this man, and he won't do anything, God won't help you. It's the same thing, women. As long as you've got your hands all over him, God can't do anything to him, because if he does, you'll take credit. Look what I did. Look how I fixed my husband. The minute you take your hand off of him and give him over to God, God will turn that man into more of a husband than you can even imagine. But the reason God can't help you do what you're trying to do is because He would set you up to steal His glory. God is always ruling for your benefit. He can't set you up in that manner because it would be harmful to you. So He waits till you get tired and you give up. And then he does what he's going to do. And that's what he did with me. He let me run myself to the end of the race. And find out when there was nothing else I could do, and I let him do it, he took over and everything was great. There's no way I could take a shred of credit for what happened. Because I was without effort at that point. I promise you, I am the laziest man you'll ever meet. Because I have learned that when I'm trying to do something in my own strength, it fatigues me. It feels like work. When I'm working at it and doing it in my own strength, I really can feel it. When God is doing something through me, it requires no effort on my part. When the Holy Spirit works through me. So now, when it starts feeling like work, I quit. Because I know I'm doing it in my own strength. So I say for that reason, I'm the laziest man you'll ever meet. But it was a huge transition that God had to do in me. The point of all of this is we have to get this issue resolved in us of why we work. Either God is your provision or He's not. You can't say God is my provision, but I work to make money. It's not uncommon for God to funnel your provision through your occupation. That's not at all odd. But if you recognize that your occupation is your means of provision, you've just taken God off His throne. You cannot worship two gods. You cannot serve two masters. Which is it? Is your occupation your provision, or is your living God your provision? It's a key issue. We have to know why God gave us gifts and graces and calling. We have to know why we get up and go to work every day. We have to know who we trust for our provision, and we have to know why we're going out and who it is we're representing. You know, the fallacy, the biggest problem with this is if I am my own provision, when I'm at work, I'm representing me, not God. My whole mindset is I got to take care of me. So there's no way I have time to represent Him because I'm too worried about my own provision. It's not until I understand that He's going to take care of me that then I'm free to get up and go to work and represent Him. I'm going to let you go to sleep on that. We're going to come back in the morning. Richard and I have made covenant. We're going to see what the Lord wants to do. But I think we'll probably have an opportunity to begin to answer questions about any of the things I've said tonight before we go on from there. We are going to get to the place where we talk about the spirit of mammon, the purpose of the tithe, and all of those, but we just feel like it is crucial that we get some of these foundational things out of the way first. Otherwise, what we will be saying will be dropped into the to the default of our mindset of yesterday. So we need to get these foundational things. Thank you for your attentiveness. Y'all rest well. Any announcements, Richard?
9 a.m.
in the morning, rest well.